Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 11, text 14. This chapter is entitled as Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. Do we need translation? Who will translate? Hindi, you can do that translate. Okay, Preeti can translate. Parul can translate. And here everybody. Bangla dorkar ache, Bangla onubadir, kar dorkar ache. Okay. Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. Text 14. Sammarjito Mahamarga Rathyapanaka Chattvaram Shiktam Gandha Jalair Uptam Phala Pushpakshatam Ankurai Pushpakshatankurai Sammarjito Mahamarga Rathyapanaka Chattvaram Rathyapanaka Chattvaram Taram Sikta Gandha Jalai Ruptam Siktang Gandha Jalai Ruptam Fa Fala Pushpak Shatang Karai Fala Pushpak Shatang Kurai Sammarjito Mahamarga Rathyapanaka Chattaram Shiktam Gandha Jalai Ruptam Fala Pushpak Shatankurai Sammarjito Mahamarga Rathyapanaka Chattaram Shiktam Gandha Jalai Ruptam Phala Pushpak Shatankurai Sammarjita, thoroughly cleansed. Mahamarga, highways. Rathya, lanes and subways. Apanaka, shopping marketplaces. Chattaram, public meeting places. Siktam, moistened with. Gandhajalai, scented water. Uptam, was strewn with phala, fruits, pushpa, flowers, akshata, unbroken, ankuroi, seeds. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The highways, subways, lanes, markets, and public meeting places were all thoroughly cleansed and then moistened with scented water. And to welcome the Lord, fruits, flowers, and unbroken seeds were strewn everywhere. Please repeat after me. The highways, subways, lanes, markets, and public meeting places were all thoroughly cleansed and then moistened with scented water. And to welcome the Lord, fruits, flowers, and unbroken seeds were strewn everywhere. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Scented waters prepared by distilling flowers like rose and keura were requisitioned to wet the roads, streets and lanes of Dwarka Dham. Such places, along with marketplace and public meeting places, were thoroughly cleansed. From the above description, it appears that the city of Dwarka Dham was considerably big, containing many highways, streets, and public meeting places with parks, gardens, and reservoirs of water, all very nicely decorated with flowers and fruits. And to welcome the Lord, such flowers and fruits with unbroken seeds of grain were also strewn over the public places. Unbroken seeds of grain or fruits in the seedling stage were considered auspicious, and they are still so used by the Hindus in general on public festival days. Sammarjita Mahamarga Ratthapanaka Chattaram Shiktam Gandha Jalair Uptam Phala Pushpak Shatankurai. The highways, subways, lanes, markets, and public meeting places were all thoroughly cleansed and then moistened with scented water. And to welcome the Lord, fruits, flowers, and unbroken seeds were strewn everywhere. So, after a long absence, Krishna returned to Dwarka. And it is being described here how the residents of Dwarka received Krishna. The residents of Dwarka already, as soon as they heard the conch shell blown by Krishna, Krishna blew his Panchajanna conch shell, and they could understand the sound from the sound that it is Krishna's conch shell that he was blowing. And then immediately they ran out of their house. They were so attached to Krishna, they were so attracted to Krishna, that as soon as they heard the conch shell blown by Krishna, they immediately ran out of their house and ran to meet Krishna. That is the attitude of a devotee. Actually, it is all a matter of love. When we love somebody, we want to be with him. When we love somebody, we want to see that person. When we love somebody, then we feel deep separation from him in his absence. So this absence actually increases the desire to see that person. So from this description in Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand how attracted, how attached the residents of Dwarka were to Krishna. So who are the residents of Dwarka? They are known as Sattatam. They are the devotees of Krishna. They all are situated in Suddha Sattva, Vishuddha Sattva. The devotees, they are not in the material nature. They are not situated in the mundane platform. The devotees are situated in the spiritual platform, transcendental to the material nature. So the devotees are those who are attracted to Krishna, those who know Krishna, And those who have developed their relationship with Krishna, and as a result of that love for Krishna, those who are constantly engaged in serving Krishna, they are not in the material platform. They are transcendental to the material platform. They are situated in the spiritual platform. And in the spiritual platform, there is no ignorance and passion. The spiritual platform is of pure goodness. So we cultivate pure goodness not by any artificial means. The cultivation of pure goodness takes place just by being attracted to Krishna, by developing our love for Krishna. Just as when the sun comes up, then automatically all the darkness disappears and everywhere we see light. We don't have to make arrangements for bringing some light. The sun comes up, the light automatically appears. Similarly, when we develop our love for Krishna, when we become engaged in devotional service to Krishna, then automatically we become situated in Shuddha Sattva. It happens spontaneously, automatically, naturally. There is no need for cultivation or artificial cultivation of the mode of goodness. So the residents of Dwarka are all situated in the mode of pure goodness. And in pure goodness, all their activities are based on their love for Krishna. All they do, whatever they do, is simply to please Krishna, simply to express their love for Krishna. And here is the description that immediately they just came running out of their house. If Krishna comes here, how will you feel? If somebody comes and tells that Krishna has come here, how will you feel? How will you feel? How will we feel actually? Then will you be sitting here giving Bhagavatam class and listening to Bhagavatam class? We'll all just run. Oh, Krishna has come, Krishna has come. So that is how the residents of Dwarka responded as soon as Krishna came. And everyone in Dwarka responded like that. Not that, only some people who are devotees of Krishna responded like that. Actually, there everyone is a devotee of Krishna. Whether that person is a relative of Krishna, whether the person is Krishna's servant, whether the person is some sweeper of Dwarka, whether someone is a dancing girl of Dwarka. Actually, in Dwarka, everyone is a pure devotee of Krishna. Whatever their occupation may be, everyone is a devotee of Krishna. And they all naturally became attracted to Krishna as soon as they got to know that Krishna has come. And last few verses have described how they felt, how they were expressing their intense feeling of separation from Krishna. They were telling Krishna, we can't survive being separated from Krishna. When you go away from Dwarka in your separation, it appears that one moment appears to be millions of years. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki. Nimeshena Jugaitam Chakshusha Prabrishaitam Shunnaitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahena. So this is how a devotee feels in separation from Krishna. Govinda Virahena me. Hey Govinda, in your separation, this is how we feel. Nimeshena Jugaitam. Nimesh means the blinking of eyes. So the time it takes to blink our eyes, that time appears to be like millions of years. And then they received Krishna in such a wonderful way. They immediately beautified all the places, sanctified all the places. They cleansed everywhere. The roads, the marketplace. Because they felt Krishna may come anywhere. So they all cleaned up all the places. So from this we actually learn a very important lesson. So this is the place of Krishna. So how will you keep the temple? Should he keep the temple? How should he keep the temple? Keep it very clean and spick and span. Right? And fragrant. From here we understand one thing, that shikta jalai gandhai. So we should smear the place with fragrant water. We can do that. We can sprinkle, when you clean the temple, we can sprinkle some fragrant water. We can get, there is plenty of rose water, gulab jal. We can get rose water, we can get keora water. Prabhupada describes that the extract, the essence is taken from rose and fragrant flowers like rose and keora, mogra. These are the fragrant flowers. Ganga Narayan, tell Lakshminath to buy some lotus, rose water and some fragrant water. Right? So we'll be, especially now that we are going to the new temple, we should make it a point to make that atmosphere of the temple like the spiritual sky. Everything should be absolutely spick and span. Like, I was looking for, actually I was not satisfied with the perfume that is used after Nishing, given to Lord Nrisingadev, offered to Lord Nrisingadev and given to the devotees. Ganganaran tried, he even got them from London, but still that was not good enough. Then the other day I found some, when I was in Jaipur, I came in contact with somebody who knows some people who make this essence of flower. So we got something, but he told me, this person is actually from Delhi, and he told me that he will send an even better fragrant for us. So it will be coming in a few days' time. How do you like the new fragrance? Ganganaran, the one that is Arunaksha? Akankar yeta kamun, gan bhala. So we'll try to get, we have another fragrance, but since that has been used, I don't want to use that for the Lord. But some more fragrance will come. So in this way we should always be prepared, or we should always be eager to set a very nice standard for the worship of the Lord. That is why we have the temples. And from Srimad Bhagavatam here we are getting such beautiful descriptions. And then what we do also? The phala pushpa akshata ankurai. Phal means fruits, and pushpa means flower, and akshata ankuroi means the unbroken seedlings. Ankur is seedlings. When the grains are soaked in water, it sprouts. So that is called Ankur, Ankuroi. So with that, it is spread all over. Prabhupada is saying, unbroken seeds of grains or fruits in the seedling stage were considered auspicious. So they are also spread on the, like what, I mean, that, we have a common custom here also. We throw khoi. Khoi actually is thrown. Now fruits and flowers also we throw. Fruits, I don't know. We can throw fruits also. People will pick up the fruits and eat it, but that's also nice. And also another point Prabhupada is making here in this purport, that Dwarkapuri was a very, very opulent city. It is not that people have learned to make big, big cities now only. There were big cities since time immemorial. In the Vedic culture we get to hear, 5,000 years ago, people nowadays think, oh, 5,000 years ago, people are uncivilized. In the West, they developed a misconception that civilization actually started in Egypt. And Egypt and Middle East. They don't want to give any recognition to India. They say that the civilization started in Egypt or in that near vicinity. Assyria, which is Syria now, Babylonia, which is Iraq, on the valley of Euphrates and Tigris, as Shatil Arab, the river. That's Iraq and Iran. But actually, those places, whatever civilization they had, was due to the remnants of Vedic culture. Actually, during the Vedic culture, that those who did not follow Vedic culture, they were not allowed to live in India. They were driven out of India. Those who would not accept the Vedic culture, those who would not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they were not allowed to stay in India. They were driven out of India. Driven out of India, or they were driven into the forest. Like if anyone did not follow the four regulative principles, they were not allowed to live in the city. They were driven out. They were not allowed to stay in civilization. Like if somebody wants to eat meat, okay, go to the forest, hunt animals and eat. The cities and villages and towns are not for you. You live in the forest. There's the showers, then those were known as antajas, those who are below the Sudra, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. They are the civilized class of people. And those who are below the Sudras, they are known as antajas. Those antajas were not allowed to live in the cities and towns and villages. Their place was in the forest. And who are the antajas who do not follow the four regulative principles? Those who do not accept Krishna as God. They're totally uncivilized. They're like animals. Asabhya. Uncivilized. So they would, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pukkasha, Pukkasha. Kirata Huna Pulinda Pukkasha. Javana Khashadaya. So these are different people, those who are not allowed to live in civilization. So, when they're in small groups, they would live in a forest, but if they want to live in a big group, they're driven out of India. And those are the people, those who settled in those countries. Like, Iran, then Iraq, what are the places now? Iran, Iraq, and some even were driven further away to Europe, the Javanas. Javanas means, actually Javanas doesn't mean European, Javanas mean those who are not going to follow the Vedic culture. But one who accepts Vedic culture, then he is Arya. He is civilized. So the land of civilized land, actually at the beginning the whole world was civilized. And whole world was following Vedic culture. Entire earth planet used to follow Vedic culture. It is only recently, Prabhupada pointed out, it's only recently that people started to separate, go away from Vedic culture. Especially due to the influence of Kali. So that means it's only 5,000 years ago. Prior to that, like Parikshit Maharaj was the last ruler who actually ruled over the entire earth planet. And during his time, Kali could not enter. There was no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Like when Parikshit Maharaj was about to kill Kali, punish him to death, slaughter him, chop his head off. Then Kali begged for his life. Then Parikshit Maharaj said, okay, then you can, I won't kill you since you are begging for your life. But you can't live in my kingdom. You get out of here. Then Kali looked around and said, saw that the entire earth planet was Parikshit Maharaj's domain, Parikshit Maharaj's kingdom. So he said, where shall I go? There is no place. I mean, the entire earth planet is your kingdom. Then Parikshit Maharaj said, okay, wherever there is meat eating, wherever there is intoxication, wherever there is gambling, and wherever there is illicit sex, you can stay there. And Kali saw all around, and he saw that these activities don't go on anywhere in Parikshit Maharaj's kingdom. So he said, where shall I go? These activities don't live, don't take place in your kingdom. Where shall I go? Then Parikshit Maharaj gave him the fifth place, gold. And this gold means the gold that is not used in Krishna's service. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Gaurnitai Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. So the gold also, when it is used in Krishna's service, then it is Lakshmi. The actual gold is, actual wealth is Lakshmi. But if the wealth is not used in Krishna's service, that becomes the place of Kali in this age. That's the place Parikshit Maharaj gave to Kali. And then we know how Kali started to spread his influence all over the world. And now Kali has taken over. As a result of that, Krishna consciousness is suffering. Human civilization is destroyed completely. And adharma has entered. There is meat eating everywhere. People are eating meat. Everywhere people are taking intoxication. Everywhere people are indulging in illicit sex and gambling. So this is a very, very unfortunate state of this world. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to re-establish dharma. And Srila Prabhupada came to distribute this Krishna consciousness all over the world. And Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So what should the devotees of Krishna consciousness do? The devotees of ISKCON must become situated in the mode of Shuddha Sattva. They should become Sattvatas. And they should teach the world how to develop their loving relationship with Krishna. And in this way the world will be transformed again. So the devotees of ISKCON have a very big responsibility. We cannot waste any time. We must become engaged in Krishna's service all the time, 24 hours a day. Otherwise, how such a big thing can be achieved? But if we sincerely try to spread Krishna consciousness, if we sincerely try to become devotees ourselves, and if we sincerely try to establish Krishna consciousness all over the world, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, then Krishna will help. Krishna will help. But we have to sincerely try. In this way, Krishna is giving us a wonderful opportunity. Come, become my devotee. That's what Krishna is saying. Krishna sent Srila Prabhupada, and in this way, Krishna is giving us a wonderful opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And coming here, Srila Prabhupada created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And this is the means, this is Prabhupada's divine arrangement to distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world. And we are seeing, like we came to Ujjain, in Ujjain there was not much of Krishna consciousness. There was, some people are pious here, but they didn't have the right understanding. But after ISKCON came, things are improving, right? Kuldeep, things are improving here. Like you got it, did you know about Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti, the importance of Krishna bhakti before? Not really. But after ISKCON came, you're getting, what about you, Parul? So, and now, we have to make it a point to give this Krishna consciousness to everyone here. Right? Let everybody become a devotee of Krishna. That's what we want. And just like in Dwarka, there are many people with many occupations. Now here also, in Ujjain also, there will be many people with their respective occupations. Like now, we are training up our guards. And for our new temple, we'll need guards. So, we decided to create our own security department instead of hiring the security people. And you saw today, 15 of them have been recruited. They are being trained up. For 1 month, they're go through a training, and then they will become. When the temple opens, they'll become fully trained Krishna's guards, guards for Krishna's temple. And we'll train them to become devotees of Krishna. They came to Mangalarati today. And in this way, then gradually we'll tell them the importance of becoming a devotee. So in this way, the guards will become devotees. The sweepers will become devotees. And Cooks will become devotees. Musicians will become devotees. Dancers will become devotees. Drama groups will become devotees. And in this way, we'll try to engage everyone in the service of Krishna. And in this way, we'll try to make everyone here a devotee of Krishna. We haven't come here to just stay in a small group. Yes, we'll start in a small group. But I'm so emphatic that this group that we have has to be very, very serious. They have to become very, very exemplary. And then whoever will come into the group, what will happen? He'll become affected and he'll become transformed. But if our group is not together, then what will happen? If our group is spaced out, then others will come and make it even more spaced out. So we have to make it a point that the nucleus is very pure and strong and exemplary. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes. Gold is? No, I didn't say that. I said if gold is not used in Krishna's service, that becomes the place of Kali. Gold must be used in Krishna's service. Sudevi came all the way from London to gold plate our singhasanas. Right? She started gold plating yesterday. First she is doing the kalashes, and she will do the gold, she will gold plate Prabhupada, the altars. Gold must be used in Krishna's service, only in Krishna's service, not for anything else. If we don't use it gold in Krishna's service, then it will become a place of Kali. Yes. The main quality is that he should be a devotee of Krishna. Right? He should have love for Krishna. He should know Krishna and he should know what is his relationship with Krishna. And he must act accordingly. That is the only qualification he needs. Know Krishna, know one's relationship with Krishna, and act in that relationship of love for Krishna. And the rest will automatically happen. If you develop your love for Krishna, all your activities will become devotional service. ये बहुत खतरनाक है. तो गोल्ड पहले भगवान को निवेदन करके उसको भगवान के प्रसाद के रूप में ग्रहण करना. हाँ ठीक है. जब नया ऑर्नामेंट्स बनाते हो तो पहले भगवान को निवेदन करके ग्रहण करना, तब भगवान का प्रसाद बन जाएगा. ऐसे भक्त का कर्तव्य है कि सब कुछ भगवान को अर्पण करके तब उसको ग्रहण करना. और ऐसा नहीं कि भगवान को जब तुम अर्पण कर दोगे तो भगवान बोलेंगे कि तुम क्यों ले रहे हो. वापस क्यों ले रहे हो, ये तो तुम्हें नहीं. जैसे पिता जब जैसे बच्चा को, बच्चा कुछ पिता को देता है तो पिता क्या करते हैं, रख लेते हैं, नहीं बोलते हैं थक ले लो, तुम ले लो, तुम इसको इस्तेमाल कर. हाँ Something like? Oh, socks. Yeah. Okay. How will you offer it to Krishna? When it is new, you can offer it to Krishna. Krishna also can wear socks. And Krishna accepts not only by using it. Krishna can accept angani jasya sakalendriya vrittimanti. Every sense of Krishna can perform, every part of Krishna's body can perform all the activities of all the senses. So if just Krishna sees the socks, he'll accept it. And then you take it. Socks, caps, shirts, dhoti. It's a matter of, you see, expressing our love. Actually, the feeling is, everything has been given by Krishna. Krishna has given. So before we accept something, we offer it to Krishna. That Krishna, because you gave me, I got it. So I'm so thankful to you. It's the expression of gratitude. And then what will Krishna say? Krishna says, well, you have offered yourself to me. So now whatever you use, that becomes my prasad. So that is how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. But still the devotees offer everything to Krishna. Like Uddhav, he would use only that has been used by Krishna. He will accept only the things that have been used by Krishna. He won't accept anything else. The dress, what Krishna has worn, he would wear those dresses after Krishna used them. Food, he will eat only what has been left over by Krishna. And he would come to Krishna before Krishna wakes up, and he would leave Krishna after Krishna goes to sleep. Then only he would go to his house. Sometimes he wouldn't even go home. He'll just lie down on the floor, waiting for Krishna to wake up. So this is how the devotees feel about Krishna. They don't have any personal need, but Krishna takes care of their needs. Yes, Ballav. There is? Yeah. Yeah, Kshatriyas. Who said that? Well, that's not the script. What the scripture says. Scripture says that first is the topmost are the Brahmanas, then the Kshatriyas, then the Vaishyas, then the Sudras. But if you look at Kali Yuga, everything turns upside down. In Kali Yuga, the Sudras or the labor union is most powerful. Right? Then, the Vaishyas, the businessmen. Then the Kshatriyas or politicians. Right? I mean, they are apparently they are powerful, but actually they are all puppets in the hands of businessmen, people with money. And the most powerful in the age of Kali is the labor union, Sudra society. That is what is happening in the age of Kali. And the Brahmanas, there is no Brahmanas. Therefore, Prabhupada came to create brahmanas through ISKCON. Okay, does it answer your question? Now you know what to tell him. You see, brahmanas may not execute, brahmanas may not manage, but brahmanas have another kind of power. They have the power of knowledge, the power of wisdom, the power of the spiritual power. And they are not getting involved in mundane affairs because they are not interested. But if they want, they can become very powerful. Like for example, when the brahmanas went to Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj was very powerful king. I'm sorry, not Prithu, Vena. Prithu Maharaj's father. Vena was not acting according to the instructions of the scriptures. He was acting whimsically. He was very tyrannical. Instead of protecting and maintaining his citizens, he was exploiting them. Just as it is happening today. The leaders are not really maintaining the citizens, the followers. They're exploiting their followers. So, the brahmanas went and gave him advice that, look, Vena, this is not the right way to act. This is not the way you should act. You are a king and this is how you must act. But the Vena was so arrogant, he just completely disregarded that instruction. So what did the brahmanas do then? They just made a sound, humkar. They just made a sound. And that sound killed Vena. Just you see there, they have such power that they would say, like mantra, they would just say something and that will happen. Oh, you are so arrogant. You do not need to live. Just that's about all they said. There's no need for you to live. And he was dead. So brahmanas are actually most powerful. Don't we even say sometimes that pen is mightier than the sword? What does it mean? The power of knowledge is more powerful than the strength of a sword. But that is, of course, a similar thing presented in a little different way. But the actual thing is the brahmanas are the most powerful. But because they are not interested, they know these materialistic activities that are not really worthwhile. They know that there is no enjoyment in the material nature. Therefore, they do not want to try to enjoy in the material nature. They withdraw from the materialistic activities. But because they're withdrawn, we should not think that they are useless. Right? They are actually the most powerful. The Kshatriyas want to enjoy. And they have to pay a very big price for that. They have to work so hard. But at the end, everyone suffers, right? They may want to enjoy, but when they go to fight a battle, that's not fun. That's hard work. And they would fight from morning till night. The other day somebody was telling me that we don't have to go very far, even in the recent past, few hundred years back. Rana Pratap. His sword is so heavy that it's difficult for one person to lift it. Now can you imagine, with that sword in hand, he was fighting from morning till night. Right? So how powerful he must have been. And it's not easy if you have to work that hard. But that is, they also know, they are not artificially trying to renounce. They say, well, I have a tendency to enjoy. So let me go. Although I know that there is no enjoyment in the material nature, but since I have the propensity, let me just go ahead and do it. And therefore, they are not afraid of death. Rather, they would think, well, death will come as a welcoming boon. Because if I die in the battlefield, I'll go back to heaven. And if I win, I'll enjoy this world. And to fight with so many people is not easy. Those days they were not fighting, hiding in a bunker. They would be actually the king or the general would be right in the front of the army. Can you imagine? Anybody can shoot an arrow at him. And it's not that he doesn't get hit by arrows. He gets hit by arrows. Not only one or two arrows. But they're so powerful that they don't feel anything. Like a lion. When a lion is fighting, lion gets, attacked and, cut into shreds. But he doesn't have any awareness of his body. That is his spirit. And that is the spirit of a kshatriya. This is the influence of the mode of passion. The mode of passion makes one very involved with the body, but at the same time, unaware of the body. So physical difficulties don't matter with them. Like an example is Vritrasura. With thunder, with Vajra, Indra cut his right arm. He was fighting with his left arm. His left arm was cut off. He was fighting with his legs. His legs were cut off. Still, he was fighting. So he swallowed up. Only thing he could do, only his mouth was there. And with his mouth, he just devoured Indra. So that is the spirit of a kshatriya. He's totally unconcerned about physical pain. And that is why, that is how, actually, Dronacharya recognized that Karna was not a Brahman. I'm sorry, wasn't it? Parashuram. Parashuram recognized that Karna was not a Brahmana. What actually happened, that there was an insect who was actually a demon in the guise of an insect. He started to eat up Karna's thigh. And he penetrated through his muscles, went into his bone and started to eat up his bone. And Karna, because Parashuram was lying on his lap, he did not move. Although he was being, you can imagine how painful it must have been. Right? But when Parashuram woke up, he saw that it was wet. And so he wondered what happened, and he found out that it was the blood that is oozing from his thigh wound. And he found out that this terrible insect was eating up his thigh. And then he recognized that, he said, you are not a Brahmana. You are a Kshatriya. You lied to me. You came to me saying that you are a Brahmana. Because Parashuram didn't want to train a kshatriya. So, and this is how he recognized that Karna was a kshatriya. So this is the quality of a Kshatriya. Pain, totally unconcerned about pain. Such intense is his tolerance. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur.